Tony behaved quite shamelessly during dinner, playing footsies, licking hoisin sauce off his fingers with far too much care, batting his eyelashes, and generally making an exhibition of himself. Steve just grinned at him and held his hand over the table whenever he could. He took every opportunity to flatter Tony, paying him compliment after compliment about everything from his eyes to his jokes, even managing some gentle innuendo. And by the time they finished dinner, Tony was about ready to pounce right over the table onto him. God, Steve was ridiculously hot. Tony kicked off his shoe and slid his foot all the way up Steve's leg and into his lap, and Steve's eyes practically crossed before he dropped his other hand and grabbed Tony's ankle. "Hey now," he said, and Tony gave him the most sultry look he could, which was apparently pretty good, as Steve's grip loosened. Tony flexed his foot, and Steve caught his breath. "Ugh! Fortune cookies!" said Tony brightly, not stopping the gentle motion of his foot. He cracked it open and smoothed out the paper. "Do not believe in miracles," he said. "Rely on them." He glanced at Steve from under his lashes. "In bed." "Not the best I've heard." Steve's voice was unsteady. "Feeling the need for miracles?" "Feeling the need for bed," Tony said, soft so only Steve's ears would pick it up. And Steve's thumb ran gently along the arch of his foot. Tony took a shivery breath. "Or maybe the backseat of the car." "The car?" Steve looked extremely dubious, and Tony grinned at him. The car had tinted windows. There was probably enough room in the back seat, and he'd brought some condoms just in case. He was pretty confident Steve would be persuaded of the virtues of sex in the car. It was a damn sexy car. "Come on, your turn." Steve picked up his cookie, then his gaze caught on something behind Tony, eyes widening. "What?" He heard the sound of tearing cloth through the chatter, and then a dozen indrawn breaths, and he started to twist round for a look. "Is..." It was easy to forget how strong and fast Steve was. His gentleness, his smiles, even his bright costume, all left the impression that Steve was, essentially, harmless. Tony was abruptly reminded, as Steve's hand on his bicep lifted him out of his seat and over the table. Steve dumped him on his butt and shoved him back into the corner. "Stay down," he snapped, and he peeled off his sweater to reveal the blue scales and white star. He dragged his shield out from its bag and pulled up his cowl as he hurtled the table away towards whatever was causing the panicky screams. Jeans and sneakers didn't really go with the scale mail, but Tony supposed there were unlikely to be complaints. For a moment, Tony just sat and felt affronted. Then he reminded himself that Steve didn't know he was Tony, and that Steve further didn't know he was Iron Man, and Steve would dump any civilian in the corner and tell them to stay put. He peeked up over the table's edge and took in a yelling, scattering mass of people fleeing. Tony really couldn't say, but it was green and huge, and it threw Steve aside with ease. He collided with a wall, bounced off onto a table, and dived back into the fray. Tony took advantage of Steve's preoccupation to bolt for the cloakroom. The attendant had apparently joined the exodus, which meant Tony had his hands on the armor in under 2 minutes, with no need for explanations. Fortunately, Steve hadn't shown any interest in why his date was bringing a briefcase to dinner. Getting the armor on over his outfit was awkward as hell. It fitted reasonably well over his skirt, though he had it hitched up and around his hips, and his pantyhose got caught on a corner of a leg plate, and he'd pretty much shredded them by the time he was done. Stupid things. He just dragged the neckline of his top down enough to expose the reactor to make the connections. Not exactly comfortable, but it shouldn't be for long. It took altogether too much time. No more skirts in future. Or at least, no stupid pantyhose. When he finally strode back in, the monstrosity had reduced most of the furniture to splinters and was attempting to punch Cap, who seemed to be focused primarily on avoiding the huge green fists. "Iron Man!" he called, doing a handspring off a broken chair and using a light fixture to swing over another wild swipe from the monster, which promptly tripped over its enormous feet and let out a furious howl. "I'm not hurting him. He's just shaking me off."
"Okay."
Tony tried a repulsor blast, sending the beast head over heels.
"Hulk smash!"
it yelled, and threw the remains of the dessert cart at him.
"Right."
Tony wiped cheesecake from the lenses of his helmet.
"Open to suggestions here, Cap."
"Where did it come from?" said Steve in harried tones, and let his shield loose. It ricocheted off two walls, clipped the back of the creature's head, bounced off the ceiling, and landed back in Steve's hand. The beast peered suspiciously behind it, rubbing the back of its head. Then it glared at Tony, apparently holding him accountable, and lunged. The wall behind Tony wasn't terribly sturdy, it turned out. They crashed straight through and ended up in a supply closet. Bleach splashed down on them, and the beast reared away and clawed at its eyes, bellowing.
"God bless health and safety violations."
Tony blasted it backwards into the restaurant, where Cap was waiting to deliver a blow from the shield. It didn't seem to help much.
"Hulk will smash you, blue man,"
it snarled, and backhanded him across the room. Steve rolled into a crouch and looked over at Tony. "Ideas?" He sent the shield flying again, tumbling in the other direction, as three chairs were pelted at him.
"Lure it into the river?"
said Tony dubiously, and used the repulsors to deflect its charge into a wall, which crunched ominously.
"We're not doing it any damage here."
Hi, said a voice from the window. "I was just passing by, and..."
"We need it restrained," Steve snapped. "Where's a good place?"
Maybe the corner?" Spider-Man crept over the sill, looking about him. Steve hurled his shield and rolled, and the beast lurched after the spinning disc, snarling. "Okay, I'm..." Bright webs flew from his wrists and wrapped around the beast, and it stumbled and fell before scrambling awkwardly up, tearing slowly through the webs.
"Okay, that's pretty strong."
More webs. And then Spider-Man jumped to the ceiling and lined up another angle.
"Hulk will..."
It pulled on the webs and stared at them in puzzlement.
"Hulk will smash?"
it said, and caught at the trailing strands and tugged.
"Hulk, have you tried not smashing?" said Spider-Man. And Hulk looked up and scowled.
"Hulk squash spider."
Spider-Man sighed and brought his hands up to take a shot.
"Get his arms," Steve ordered,
and Spider-Man nodded and then leapt away as the green beast caught up a table and hurled it at him. Webs and chunks of wood scattered crazily. Steve ducked out of the way, but a strand wrapped around his ankle and almost tripped him. He barked a word that made Tony's eyebrows shoot up, and then brought his shield up defensively as the beast turned and smashed a fist down, hammering Steve downwards with the force of its blow. Tony hurled himself bodily at Hulk, clawing at his eyes with metal fingers. When it turned its head, he shot a repulsor down his ear at point-blank range, which just seemed to make it angrier. He wrapped his arms around its neck and kicked it hard in the kidneys, and it got one massive arm around his waist and started to squeeze. The armor creaked warningly, and Tony grunted and kicked the beast again. Red and blue shot past,
and then hit the beast in the back and bounced away. And goddammit, Steve needed his shield if he was stuck in place. Another red and blue blur, and Spider-Man landed on the Hulk's shoulder, nose to faceplate with Tony, and grabbed handfuls of hair and yanked. The thick neck arched violently, tendons standing out, under what had to be a very strong grip. He hadn't known Spider-Man had super strength. And then the pressure released as the beast let go of him and grabbed for Spider-Man, getting only a handful of webbing as Spider-Man cartwheeled away. Tony reeled back, almost tripping over Steve, who was trying to free his foot with no apparent success. Tony put himself between Steve and Hulk. Spider-Man had webbed Hulk's hands now and was trying to drag it away. Hulk dragged back, and Spider-Man rose onto his toes, legs trembling with the strain as he tried to hold it. Tony brought up his repulsors. A short blast to the back of the knees made Hulk stagger, and Spider-Man yanked him over and dived past him, then up onto his back again, trailing webbing and down and around and over again. Hulk made a confused noise and struggled against the webbing as it pulled tight around him. Tony blasted him again as he tried to rise, and Hulk fell flat with a loud, crunching noise. Spider-Man landed atop Hulk and webbed him down to the floor. There was a moment of silence. Hulk didn't move. "Okay?" said Spider-Man hopefully, crouching on top of Hulk's back. And Tony shook his head. Hulk resembled nothing so much as a giant cocoon. Tony turned to Steve, who was smiling widely despite still being stuck to the floor. "Good work, Spider-Man! Excellent timing!" Spider-Man puffed up. "Yeah? I tried. I'm sorry about hitting you." He peered down at Steve's foot. "You're gonna need a blowtorch or something." "Not a problem," said Steve soothingly. "It can happen. It happens less to people who train together, of course. Iron Man and I have learned to work well together, but we used to get in each other's way quite a lot."
"Sure. I stick Cap to the floor all the time."
Tony crouched down to work out what was going on with the webbing. If Steve had been wearing his cat boots, he might have been able to wiggle his foot loose, but the laces of his sneaker were all gummed up. He didn't really want to start using blowtorches on Steve's feet. "Yeah, I was thinking about that," Spider-Man said. "The training, not the... Ack!"
"Whoa," said Tony, looking up, and tried to work out what had just happened.
Spider-Man was disentangling himself from his webs, and there was a skinny man curled up asleep where the Hulk had been.
"Well, that's weird."
Spider-Man scratched his head. "That kind of thing happen often?"
"Not so's you notice," said Tony. "Maybe we should ask a few questions."
"Yeah, Steve glanced around. "Where's Morgan?" he said suddenly. "Iron Man."
"She's safe. I got her out. Sent her back to the tower."
"Okay, should I go? She'll understand, right?" He gave Tony a doubtful look.
"Of course she will," said Tony entirely truthfully. "Let's go question the waiters. Spidey, you want to tie this guy up again?"
"I got it." "I think I recognize him." Steve stared down at the peaceful face, which emitted a rasping snore. "He was having dinner earlier." He tugged at his foot. "Spider-Man." "I'm sorry," he said. "It'll wear off in about an hour." "Okay." Steve gave up the struggle, and Tony got back to his feet. "Pass me a chair, and let's get the waiters in here to talk about what happened. And someone get me my shield." Tony shut the door behind him just as he heard footsteps on the stairs. Turning off all the elevators had bought time to get out of the armor and the shredded pantyhose and make it back up to his apartment. He was turning back to the door when it occurred to him he'd smell of the armor again. He ran to the bedroom as knocking sounded, and after a frenzied moment of indecision, splashed on the least manly smelling of his colognes. He dashed back to the open door, and the beginnings of worry on Steve's face dissolved into a broad smile. "Hey, you," Tony said, and looped his arms around Steve's neck. "Everything okay?" "Yeah. Are you okay? You're not hurt?" Tony shook his head. "I'm absolutely fine." "Then everything's pretty great, actually." He looped an arm around Tony's waist to lift him off his feet, then stepped into the hall and kicked the door shut behind him. "Spider-Man's on the point of joining up, I swear, and we might have the green guy on board." Tony was not at all convinced that Bruce Banner was going to be a useful addition to their team, and Banner himself had seemed extremely doubtful. He had an appointment with Morgan Stark tomorrow, which Iron Man was supposedly going to tell Morgan about in the morning, so he wasn't about to argue with Steve about it now. "The green guy who smashed up the restaurant? What did I say about publicity?" Tony teased, and Steve patted his back, apparently disinclined to put him back on his feet. "He's not always green, and he seems a nice fellow. Let's see how things work out," he said. "Anyway, this isn't supposed to be a work night." Tony put his hands on Steve's shoulders and leaned back, bringing his legs up around Steve's waist. Big hands settled under his butt, probably for support, and squeezed, which probably wasn't, as he dug in the pocket of his skirt. Steve grinned as he pulled out a little clear plastic packet. "Snagged you a fortune cookie," Tony said. "Open it for me." "You're supposed to open them for yourself." He opened it anyway, cracked it, and fed Steve the pieces. While he crunched, Tony looked at the slip of paper and snickered. "What?" Steve tried to peer at it. "Engage in group activities that further your transformation." "In bed," Tony finished, and laughed at his expression. "How large a group are we talking here?" "Two works for me." Tony kissed him on the nose. He dug in his other pocket and pulled out a foil packet. "You know where the bed is?" "Too far away?" said Steve innocently as he turned to press him back against the wall, pushing his skirt further up his thighs. Tony snickered. "Are you actually going to?" He caught his breath as Steve's hand slid down to trace the edge of his panties. "Oh God, if you drop me, I'm going to kick your ass." "I won't," Steve whispered against his lips, and his fingertips slipped under the fabric, and Tony made a noise that definitely wasn't a whimper. "You're so hot." And that was probably a polite way of saying, "You're such a slut," because Tony was wet already, just from the heat of Steve's body between his thighs and the easy way he held Tony, like he weighed nothing. "Steve," he said, and moaned as Steve's fingers worked deeper into him. Steve's gaze was intent, flicking from his half-shut eyes to his parted lips, and Tony felt utterly exposed, helpless. "I don't need... I'm ready... now!" "You sure?" Steve clearly wanted very much to believe him, and Tony opened the condom packet with shaking hands and pressed it into his palm. Steve shifted his grip, and his zipper rasped, and he shut his eyes, breathing catching slightly as he touched himself. "Come on," Tony said, willing to beg if it got him what he wanted. "Come on, Steve. Oh yeah, faster. Come on." And Steve was nudging in altogether too slowly and carefully, holding the fabric of Tony's panties out of the way. And really, he was going to have to start going commando if this kind of thing was an option. He was definitely feeling the advantages of skirts right now. "Faster," he said again. And there was nowhere reasonable he could dig his nails in on Steve that wasn't covered up. So he grabbed a handful of hair and tugged.
"Quit that," Steve rasped. God, you feel good."
He shut his eyes and rested his brow against Tony's, and Tony growled and pulled again.
"I can't. Just give me a moment.
You going to come?" Steve made a desperate sound.
"Yeah, go on. Steve, give it to me. Let go. You can make it up to me later."
Steve grunted, and his fingers flexed on Tony's thighs. Then he pulled back and slammed into Tony, who choked out encouragement as Steve thrust into him, hard and fast, for about 30 seconds, before making a broken sound and kissing Tony wet and sloppy. Tony could feel the shudders running through him, feel Steve twitch inside his body, and he felt himself tighten in response, which got a very undignified noise from Steve. Steve leaned on him heavily, panting, and Tony petted his hair and his neck until he lifted his head and grinned sheepishly.
"Sorry," he said, and lifted Tony. The slide of him pulling out dragged a whimper from Tony, and Steve flushed.
"Sorry," he said again.
"How about..."
Tony paused and swallowed to clear the rasp from his throat.
"How about you stop apologizing and just take me to bed? Because that was great, it was, but I really want my turn now."
Steve departed early enough next morning to avoid Pepper's disapproving eye. And Tony took advantage of being wide awake so early to go down to the workshop and start work on his jet boots. He'd been meaning to work on them for weeks, but there was always something demanding his attention. The minutiae of circuitry and chip occupied him happily for several hours, at which point he got a text from Rhodey demanding his presence. He considered ignoring it. Rhodey would come looking for him, and then he'd have someone to pass him tools. But it was coffee time anyway, so he stopped by the canteen for coffee, getting several puzzled glances, which he ignored, and headed up to his office, where there was something very irritating happening, judging by the volume of Pepper's voice.
"What's going on?"
Tony edged into the outer office cautiously, in case it was something he'd done. Pepper barely spared him a glance. She was staring down a crew of confused-looking men in overalls and dust masks, wielding paintbrushes.
"Do you remember anything about having the office repainted?" she said. And Tony considered.
"No." He eyed the wall, which was half-painted raspberry pink.
"I don't think I like that color."
"It's vile." She waved him towards his office. "Never mind. Rhodey's waiting for you, and Dr. Banner's due at 12. He dodged past her and went through to his office. Rhodey was sitting in his chair. Tony debated sitting down on his lap, but decided to spare his feelings and sat on the desk instead, propping his feet on Rhodey's knees.
"So you're redecorating in pink? Is that because you're a girl now? You could have a mural of glittery unicorns, maybe," Rhodey said, taking his coffee from Tony's hand, and Tony kicked him.
"You can start shutting up any time now," said Tony.
"Is that your latest theory for Doom's evil plot? He wants Stark-Tech covered in pink glitter and thinks this is the way to get it?"
"I don't have any other theories." Tony sighed. He'd really hoped Rhodey would come up with something. Rhodey patted his calf.
"Sorry, I nosed around the embassy some.
Doesn't seem like Doom's in residence.
Gone back to Latveria, I suppose, leaving me all girled up. Tony poked at one of his breasts gloomily. Sure, they were fun and all, but why would Doom want him to have them? Seriously, what is the point? Did he feel his heroes gallery needed more diversity? I did a bit of snooping. Apparently, they sent a report back to Latveria last night. And, well, it's a long story of stealth and bribery, but here. He tossed an envelope onto the desk, and Tony tipped out the contents. He stared blankly at the photograph of a beautiful woman scrambling out of a limo, skirt rucked up, exposing a lot of shapely leg. After a second, he realized it was him on his way to meet Steve. He pushed it aside with a mental note to be more careful getting out of cars. And there were more photos, several of him at dinner with Steve, smiling flirtatiously, laughing, gesturing expansively. A photo of him talking to Spider-Man, dark hair blowing out in the wind. A photo of Iron Man, arcing through the sky with Cap clasped firmly to his side, and Tony's mouth curved in response to Steve's smile. The next picture was very similar, but not quite the same. Tony flipped back and realized the armor was slightly different. It was from before his body had changed. "Just pictures," he said finally. "No written reports?" "Just pictures," Rhodey shrugged. "I guess maybe Doom wanted proof it had worked." "Or how it had worked," he said, flipping back through. "Maybe he wasn't sure what had happened. Maybe he wanted to know if I was still being Iron Man. If I'd changed height or shape significantly, it would have been obvious. I'd have had to get you to tool the suit around a few times to cover for me. But you were only here by chance. So maybe it was a plot to expose my secret identity?" Rhodey shrugged again, and Tony gnawed on his fingernail. There had to be some plan here. "All we can do is wait for Doom's next move, I suppose. Unless you're willing to be smuggled into Latveria." "No, Tony," said Rhodey, and Tony sighed noisily. Maybe he could alter the ghost armor to his new body and sneak. "And you shouldn't either." "Of course not." Tony widened his eyes innocently, and Rhodey shook his head. He started to speak, but then Pepper opened the door, and Tony stuffed the photos back into the envelope and grinned over his shoulder at her. "Hey, Pepper, are we still doing Pink?" "They're fixing it. Dr. Banner is here to see you." And Banner wandered across the carpet, as if he weren't quite sure where he was. Pepper laid a file down on the desk and made a shooing gesture at Rhodey, who followed her out. And Tony reclaimed his chair and tried to look professional. He didn't really know why he was bothering, considering Banner had thrown a dessert cart at him yesterday. Banner hovered awkwardly, and Tony waved him forward and pointed him to the other chair. Then he opened the folder and made a show of examining the papers, though he'd seen them all already. Steve was optimistically convinced that the Hulk could be an asset to them, but Tony wasn't entirely sure they wanted a Jekyll and Hyde type. Maybe they could just airdrop him on the enemies? "So," said Tony, and Dr. Banner hunched down in his chair as if he expected Tony to throw something at him. "Wow. You caused a lot of damage." "It's not my fault," he mumbled. "I can't control it." "Uh-huh." Tony turned a page and frowned. "Says here you turned green and monstrous when your date threw her coffee at you?" "I stand by what I said. Pluto should never have been a planet." Banner folded his arms and jutted his chin out, looking quite ready to fight about it. "Okay." Tony raised his eyebrows. "And then you destroyed the dessert cart." "I can't stand lemon meringue. It's so gritty and sharp," he
he said sadly.
Right. And you're like this because you ran into the testing field of a gamma bomb to save a teenager from the blast and didn't have time to take cover yourself. Why'd you do that?
He put the folder down and rested his chin in his hand, looking expectantly at Banner.
What?
Banner stared at him as if he were a moron. Did you even read that report? Gamma radiation of that intensity could have killed him.
Well, look what it did to me.
And your colleagues told him you'd never reach him, and that you were throwing your life away.
I was pretty certain I could reach him, said Banner. I calculated...
You didn't think heading into the testing field was a bit of an odd choice? Tony suggested, flipping over the witness statements. Apparently, Banner had been told it was certain death for him and the boy, and he had promptly hotwired a motorcycle and driven off over the field. It was quite hard to picture the skinny little man in front of him running a stop sign, much less riding a motorbike into a gamma bomb, like something off the cover of a heavy metal album.
Gamma radiation of that
intensity would have killed him, I know. Tony smiled at him. Oh, what the hell. Tony could appreciate a guy with a taste for reckless heroics, and another scientist would be useful.
Would you like to join the team of superheroes? I'm sure you'll fit right in.
Don't be ridiculous, snapped Banner. I'm a scientist who occasionally turns into a freak. I'm not a superhero.
Sure, Tony said agreeably. But you know, we could use a science guy. Quantum and things.
The team's only got Iron Man so far, and he's an engineer, and we need him up front soaking up damage. There's plenty of things we could use your help for. And...
He ruffled the papers ostentatiously.
It says here that you turn into the Hulk when hurt or panicked?
Sort of. It's... unpredictable.
He stared down at his hands.
Mostly when I'm angry.
You get angry when people shoot at you? Because you'd be safer than a normal scientist who doesn't turn into a big green troll.
Banner nodded slowly. I have had some trouble finding work, he admitted. Labs are full of breakable things, you know.
I know. Tony gave Banner his best understanding smile, and the man gnawed at his thumbnail, an expression of intense concentration on his face.
So...
Banner paused for another chew at his nail.
I guess I could try it.
The door clicked, and Tony looked up in annoyance as the painting crew shambled in.
What?
He began, and broke off when one of them turned and locked the door. The others drew guns out from their overalls. Masked gunmen were, in general, a bad sign. Tony tripped the silent alarm.
I hope you at least finish covering up that pink, he said coolly.
The armor was in its briefcase under the desk, but there was no way he could get any of it out and on in time. Banner glanced over his shoulder, and then looked back and forth between them and Tony, as if unsure as to whether this was normal procedure.
Maybe he thought it was some kind of superhero aptitude test.
Hands up, one of them said, and Banner put his hands up. Tony folded his on the desk.
Can I assist you in some way, gentlemen?
They fanned out across the room in a professional manner, covering all the doors. Now he was paying attention. They were all wearing the same uniform of identical black shirts under the overalls, all wearing thin black gloves.
Put your hands up. You're coming with us, said the centermost one.
Behind the dust mask, he looked magnificently nondescript, without a distinguishing feature that Tony could see. He supposed that must be an advantage in the kidnapping and general villainy line of work. Tony shot a glance at Banner. He was looking bewildered and slightly alarmed.
Dr. Banner, maybe you should...
Stay, said the gunman nearest him. Move and I'll shoot you.
Banner blinked at him, and then looked at Tony, who held up a palm to indicate he should stay.
You, on your feet.
Security is on its way up. Tony leaned back in his chair and crossed his legs. You won't be able to leave the building. And hostage situations?
Ugh, said Banner intelligently, his gaze fixed on something outside the window.
And Tony turned to see an aircraft bobbing awkwardly, like a buoy in a current.
A tiltrotor, he noticed absently.
A hybrid plane helicopter with long-range capability and vertical takeoff and, of course, the ability to hover. They were very expensive toys and didn't usually bob in the air like a duck in a pond. The aircraft's door swung open, and a man appeared in the space, shading his eyes with a handgun. A rough hand grabbed Tony's shoulder, and he was dragged out of his chair and away from the window as it shattered inward under what had to be a very high-caliber bullet. The glass on the 80th floor generally didn't break easily.
Something wrong with the balcony doors? He said irritably.
Pepper was going to be furious, and he was going to have workmen in his office all day.
Of course, he might not be around to worry about that.
When he was yanked backwards towards the window, he twisted out of the man's grip and made a bolt for the workshop elevator. He was grabbed and dragged back before he'd gone two steps.
Get the hell off me,
he snarled, and kicked out and hit someone's knee with a pleasing crunch, and took a blow to the jaw that made him reel. He wished he'd started wearing heels. A pair of stilettos like Pepper's would have been very handy right now.
Not the face, he heard one of them hiss,
and then he was dragged towards the window, feet skidding on the smooth carpeting as he scrambled to brace himself. He hoped Banner had the sense to go for help. There was a dull thud and a yelp, and Tony's arm was released, and he looked around to see Banner wielding a desk chair somewhat awkwardly.
Let go of her,
said Dr. Banner in a high-pitched voice.
You're making me angry.
Hit him again, Banner, yelled Tony. Come on, smack him right in the ugly mug. If Banner got angry enough, Banner swung the chair again, and Tony lunged at the nearest gunman. There was a brief struggle, and then a dull crack. Banner fell over.
Banner, said Tony, darting toward him. Oh my God, did you? Ow!
The gunman grabbed a handful of his hair and yanked him towards the waiting aircraft.
No!
He struggled frantically, but to no avail. This body didn't have the mass of his own, and it wasn't as strong. And as he wrestled up the wobbling ramp, Jesus, this was incredibly unsafe. Who the hell was piloting this thing? And then he was being shoved down into a seat, and his hands were cuffed behind his back, tight enough to be painful.
Ow, he said, and glared down the gun barrel pointed at him.
You want my hands to drop off, smart guy?
We'll loosen them later, said one of them, and then limped towards the cockpit and took the co-pilot seat as the hatch was shut.
Stark Industries doesn't pay ransom. Tony settled himself more comfortably, drew his composure around him. There was no point in panicking. They obviously weren't planning to kill him.
You are so dead when my bodyguard gets here.
With any luck, Rhodey would put on the armor and come after him. There were only a half dozen of them, after all, and Rhodey was reasonably competent with the armor. Well, eight including the two who'd been in the ship. Maybe Rhodey could bring Cap along. Steve was going to be pissed when he heard his girl had been kidnapped. And that, assuming Tony actually got rescued, had the potential to be fun.
We've already got a buyer for you, said the nearest gunman. Now shut up or I'll gag you.
Tony sneered at him,
and then turned his attention to getting his fingers into the back pocket of his jeans. He'd definitely stuffed some odd bits of wire in there earlier. With any luck, there would be some long enough for him to reach the locks. Yeah, that one was probably good enough. He shut his eyes, shaping the piece of wire with his fingers, watching the pilot work. The engines growled, and they lurched forward, and then stilled. There was a pause. It felt as if they were hanging dead in the air, but the engines were still turning. Tony's eyes shot up. Were they teleporting? Some kind of new propulsion? They'd be much harder to catch if...
Boss, why aren't we moving? Said one of them.
And Tony rolled his eyes and settled back down. If he was being kidnapped in a broken plane, he was going to be very annoyed. He was starting to think this wasn't even their plane. If their buyer was Doom, and the odds were in favor, he probably supplied it to them. Too bad he hadn't supplied a pilot, too. He tapped his piece of wire thoughtfully on the cuff. He could slip his bonds now, of course. Maybe even get the gun from the guy covering him, who was peering over his shoulder at the pilot. But there were a half dozen of them. Even if they wanted him alive and unharmed, it would be easy for an accident to happen. No, he'd give it some time, see how it played out. He didn't want to risk bringing the plane down in New York anyway. I don't know. The pilot was prodding at the controls. The engines are responding. The sound of the engines increased to a whine, and the plane shuddered. You're risking the hull's integrity, said Tony sharply. If you're planning to take us up... Shut up. But the engines quieted again. Did the ramp catch? Said one of them. No, I... He scanned the dashboard again. Maybe. Open the hatch. Tony craned his neck to see as the door was opened again, and frowned. They couldn't have gone more than 30 feet. The tower was still clearly visible, with Stark security guards peering worriedly out the broken window. There was no sign of the ramp, or any impediment. The fuck? The one who'd opened the door leaned cautiously forward, peering out, and then reeled backwards as a pair of red boots hit him in the chest, followed by their owner in what showed every sign of being a very bad mood. Tony suppressed the urge to whoop with joy. A proper Captain America rescue. That was worth being roughed up a bit. He slipped the lock of the cuff on his left hand, and as the gun pointing at him tracked away toward Steve, he folded the cuff around his fingers of his right hand, stood, and punched the guy hard as he could. He wasn't really a hand-to-hand expert, but the advantage of surprise and improvised brass knuckles sent the gunman reeling. Tony was wondering whether to go for the gun or just hit him again when Steve dived towards him, grabbing his shoulder and dragging him down to the floor, which didn't seem like a very good rescuing technique. "Shake it!" Steve howled, and Tony had a moment of bewilderment before the aircraft lurched hideously back and forth, like a ship in high seas, sending everyone but them tumbling. When it stopped, Steve dragged him up and threw him over his shoulder and leapt for the door. "Catch!" he yelled, and they fell for an indeterminable second before landing in a giant hand that, well, it wasn't exactly familiar. But Tony was not surprised to look up to see Giant Girl struggling to maintain her grip on the aircraft one-handed. He could see the news helicopters buzzing behind her. So much for Morgan Stark keeping a low profile. The aircraft's engines whined, and he could see Giant Girl's knuckles whiten as her fingers dented the hull. There was movement at the open door.
"Let go!"
shouted Tony hoarsely, and she gave him a worried glance.
"Steve, guns!"
"Let go!"
Steve echoed, and she opened her hand and let it spin away. It jetted straight away,
apparently not willing to tangle with a woman. A woman some 150 meters tall. Wow, that was really impressive. Tony hadn't known she could get that big. Bullets probably wouldn't even affect her at that size. But who knew what might happen to them when she changed size again? Are you okay? She lifted them toward her face, frowning. I need to shrink. I can't maintain this height long. Put us back through the window, said Steve, and she tipped them very carefully in before she shrank away so quickly she seemed to vanish. There were about 20 security guards clustering round them, and he could hear Pepper's anxious voice, but Steve lifted him into his lap and kissed him. And that seemed the priority right now, so he just grabbed onto Steve's broad shoulders and clung. Steve muttered something soothing and kissed him a few more times. It's all right, and you're safe, which Tony didn't really need to hear, but he supposed it was sort of nice to be petted and reassured, as long as it didn't become a habit. In fact, this was really a bit undignified. He pushed gently away and started to get up, and Steve rolled to his feet and helped him up and led him over to the couch and urged him to sit. Where's Iron Man? He said, scowling. I sent him away. Oh, he could see fun conversations coming. All right, shoo, the lot of you, he added to the security guards. A lot of use you were. How did they get guns in? Oh, smuggled them in the cans of paint, I'll bet. Someone do something about that before it catches on. Where's Banner? Are you all right, Pepper? Fine, she said, looking him over with the scowl that meant she was mad at him for scaring her. Are you all right? Rhodey and I were just on our way out when you tripped the alarm, so I called the captain. I couldn't get through to Iron Man. Where is he? Steve said again. There's not much point in you having a bodyguard if he isn't there when you need him. I sent him on a job. Tony applied his bit of wire to the handcuffs to avoid meeting Steve's gaze. This had the potential to be awkward. I told you. Stark Industries, a confidential job. Pepper, call a glazer. I have a few other calls to make first. She flipped open her phone pointedly. The police will want to take a statement from you, so don't go wandering off. Well, that ruled out one way of shutting Steve's mouth. Pepper retreated to the corner, and Tony passed the cuffs to Rhodey, who put them on the desk. If someone's trying to kidnap you, Iron Man needs to be with you, Steve said. Call him back. No, they're gone now. Short of persuading Rhodey into the suit, there was no way he could have Iron Man hanging around him. But by the glower building on Steve's face, he wasn't inclined to take no for an answer. But they might come back. Steve grabbed his hand and squeezed it with surprising gentleness, given the annoyance written clearly on his face. Iron Man is going to have to concentrate on guarding you, not missions or the team. Absolutely not, Tony interrupted. The team is an essential part of Tony's long-term... It's not more important than your safety. You were almost... I'll be perfectly safe, he said dismissively. And Steve shook his head. Tony arched his eyebrows at Rhodey, trying to signal, rescue me. But Rhodey just shrugged helplessly. Like you were today? It's not acceptable. I'm going to tell Iron Man. Excuse me, I am CEO, acting CEO, and I tell my Tony's staff what to do. He glared. That worked about as well as he'd expected on a man who faced down the Red Skull without a blink. You need to. You're not the... Hey! Jan was at the door. What did I miss? Jan! Tony leapt to his feet. A diversion, thank God. Jan gave him a surprised look. Cap's told me all about you, he added. I'm Morgan Stark. Cap said, Jan came forward, holding out her hands. It's so nice to meet you. The pleasure's mine. He took her hand, and she squeezed it and smiled warmly. And thank you for the rescue. How did you happen to be here? Oh, Cap and I were going out to lunch, she said. Then he got the call, and we came here instead. Luckily, I had my costume with me.
Morgan.
There was an edge to Steve's voice, and Tony put his hands on his hips and tried not to feel bad about what he was about to do. He really needed the diversion. So, you and Jan were going to lunch? He said sweetly. How nice. Steve cocked his head, apparently catching something in Tony's voice. Yes, but that's not... Some oversight that you didn't mention it to me, no doubt. And Steve's expression shaded into alarm. Jan cleared her throat. So, she said, who's that lying under your desk? Tony turned. Oh, God! Banner! Pepper, call an ambulance!
No. I'm all right, came a slightly slurred voice. Some kind of tranquil... sedative.
Steve picked up the desk and lifted it carefully to one side before kneeling beside Banner. How many fingers am I holding up? He said, and Tony turned to Jan. So, Jan! The captain called me saying he had news about the team, and I suggested we meet for lunch, Jan said firmly. You should come too, because it was a team kind of thing, and Cap tells me you're involved with setting the team up, so you should totally come to our business lunch, as Cap was very worried about you, because you're his girlfriend, who he clearly adores, and I think that's lovely.
Yeah.
There was an awkward pause. Look, So do we need an ambulance? Pepper tapped her phone impatiently. I don't think we do, said Steve.
I don't. No ambulance.
Banner tried to get up, and then lurched ungracefully. Steve made a grab for him, but Banner staggered a few steps before falling onto his face. Steve took his arm and helped him to his feet. Come and meet Dr. Banner, Tony said to Jan. He's joining the team, aren't you? Banner stammered, and Jan clapped her hands. That's wonderful! She bounced over to grab his hand, and he wobbled under the assault. Are you sure you're okay? You look very pale. She laid a hand on his forehead and peered into his eyes.
Pale is fine. Green is a problem, Banner said, and she laughed as if he'd made a joke.
She probably thought he had made a joke. They'd have to explain the whole Hulk thing sometime, and took his arm and helped Steve get him to the couch. Steve tried to nudge Tony to sit down on it, but he resisted, scowling.
He hadn't been tranquilized.
So, you have superpowers? Said Jan brightly, and Banner shook his head.
Not really. I mean...
He hit one of the gunmen with a chair, Tony said, and Steve directed an approving smile at Banner, before remembering about the whole gunman thing and scowling at Tony.
Morgan, can we talk?
He said tightly. And Tony scowled at him. Not right now. Anyway, aren't you going to take Jan out to lunch? Steve's eyes widened, and he directed a slightly panicky look at Jan. I was just saying Morgan should come with us. Tony shook his head. Can't. There's police and things to deal with. And the press. Why don't you two take Banner? Then Cap can tell you both about the team.
I'm not going to, Steve began, and Tony cut him off. I'll be very busy, and Iron Man will be back soon, and we're on high security alert here. Go on, shoo. Jan, Dr. Banner, would you like to come over to the mansion tomorrow and take a look around? Several of our team members will be living there, and you're quite welcome to have rooms.
That sounds like so much fun!
Jan turned her smile on Banner, who gave her a puzzled look.
Doesn't it?
Well, I... Morgan, said Steve, and Jan's eyes flickered between them.
Well, let's go!
She dragged Banner up from the couch and caught Steve's arms with her other hand.
I'm sure you're very busy. We'll leave you to work.
Steve stood for a moment, resisting Jan's pull, and then gave a defeated sigh and turned away.
Whew!
Tony collapsed onto the couch. Rhodey sat next to him.
Well, that was exciting.
You all right? Rhodey put a hand on his shoulder, and Tony groaned.
Don't you start!
He patted Rhodey's hand and got a gentle squeeze in return. What was that about, anyway? Pepper sat down on his other side. Tony put his head on her shoulder, and she elbowed him not too hard in the ribs. Getting nearly kidnapped got him certain personal space privileges for at least an hour, which was just one of many benefits. Masked gunmen trying to kidnap me? Could be anything. Industrial espionage? Maybe just hoping for a ransom? Rhodey opened his mouth, no doubt to say something involving the name Doom, and Tony made a horrible face at him. Rhodey frowned, and Tony rolled his eyes towards Pepper.
Lots of people it could be, Rhodey settled on.
And Pepper clicked her tongue, probably annoyed the kidnappers hadn't made an appointment.
My face hurts.
Tony probed at his teeth with his tongue, which all seemed solidly in place, thank goodness. That had been quite the clock to the jaw. Pepper clucked and laid a gentle hand on his cheek.
It's swelling.
Her hand was pleasantly cool against his skin, and he tried to snuggle closer.
I'll get you some ice.
She pushed him gently off and headed for the door.
And some painkillers, he called after her.
Doom, Rhodey said as soon as the door shut, and Tony nodded.
Gotta be. They barely knew how that ship worked. They were given it.
So he turns you into a chick and now he kidnaps you? Rhodey rubbed his jaw.
Hey, maybe they didn't know what the raid did.
What?
He was just playing around with some new stuff, maybe, and he wasn't sure what it had done to you? So he had those photos taken, and now he knows you're a chick, and now he wants you to study.
Rhodey beamed at him, and Tony had to acknowledge it was a good theory.
Well, it was an adequate theory.
It was the best they had, anyway. The police were surprisingly easy to deal with. Rhodey hovered at his shoulder protectively, and Pepper talked over him whenever questions got awkward. Fortunately, they weren't too inclined to be suspicious of him. He was just an innocent, and clearly wealthy, victim after all. They promised to give the matter their full attention and departed.
Right. I have a meeting, which I'm going to be late for.
Rhodey clapped him on the shoulder.
I keep forgetting you have jobs other than babysitting me now.
Tony smiled at him, and he scowled back.
I don't think I like it.
Pepper, do you like it?
Wait, you have other jobs now.
Wow, this was a stupid idea. You shouldn't have let me give you other jobs. I had been hit in the head a few times when I made those decisions.
Rhodey shook his head, and Pepper handed him a folder. Cars outside.
Thanks, Pepper. You stay out of trouble.
He pointed a finger at Tony, who smiled sweetly.
Yeah, right.
Pepper shut the door behind him and turned to give Tony a nasty look.
What now? He protested. He hadn't done anything. Not in the last 2 hours. Steve's waiting in the lobby. He said not to disturb you, and he'd wait till you were free.
Oh, boy.
Tony pressed his fingers into his temples. An argument with Steve was pretty low on the list of things he wanted right now. But Steve would just stay there, he knew. Oh, God. He's not sitting around the lobby in costume, is he? No, Tony, Pepper snapped. He's just wearing clothes. Have you thought of any more lies to tell him?
Do I need more lies to tell him?
Tony's mind raced, trying to think. There was the Doom connection, but Pepper didn't even... Pepper was glaring at him. Oh, that was just a snide jab. Thanks, Pepper. I think I'm done here. Send him up to my apartment, please. Steve looked extremely hangdog when Tony opened the door to him. He shuffled in silently and laid his fingers very carefully against the reddened swelling on Tony's jaw. It was nothing, really. Tony had taken worse from G-forces, but Steve stared at it as if it were gushing blood. He should probably have gotten Pepper to put makeup on it or something. Morgan, he began, and Tony shook his head and put a finger over Steve's lips. Steve. Steve blinked at him and remained silent. Listen to me. I know you're concerned. I get that. I'm touched. But I make my own decisions, and I don't need a hero to swoop in and take over for me, all right? If you can't deal with that, then... His voice faltered for a second, and he took a deep breath. Jesus, he was going to dump Captain America? Then maybe you shouldn't... I'm sorry, Steve interrupted, and Tony stopped. You're right. I can't make your decisions for you. He put an arm around Tony's waist and pulled him close. I'm sorry. I was terrified for you, love. I thought they were going to get away with you. He cupped Tony's chin and pressed a kiss to his cheek. Please, please, just be careful. Okay, said Tony, and Steve gave him a hopeful smile. There is really no way Tony could say no to him, because he was weak. Yeah, okay, we're good. He slipped an arm around Steve's waist and tugged him towards the sitting room. They couldn't just stand here in the hallway like idiots. So, did you have fun at lunch? It was fine. Steve gave him a nervous look. I mean, I'd rather have had lunch with you. I didn't mean it about Jan. Sorry, I was just being a pain to distract you. Thanks. Steve made a face at him. Give me a heart attack, why don't you? Jan's nice and all, but you... He kissed Tony, slow and sweet. Okay. Tony sighed when their lips parted. He kept his eyes shut, but for some reason, Steve didn't kiss him again, just kept talking. Anyway, yeah, it was good. They seemed pretty excited. Jan's coming by in the morning to check it out. I have a shield thing in the morning, so I'm going to pick up Banner on my way back. Yeah, great. He blinked up at Steve and tried to direct his thoughts away from the heat of Steve's body under his hands. That's, what, 6? 7 if we get Spider-Man? No, he really didn't care right now. We had a fight, right? Yes? Steve's brow crinkled. So, we should have makeup sex. But you... He traced the bruise on Tony's cheek. Aren't you... You're hurt, I mean... I have slight bruising. Tony hooked his fingers into Steve's belt and back towards the bedroom. And Steve let himself be dragged. though his expression was doubtful. You can be gentle with me, okay? Yeah? Steve's mouth curved. No harder, faster, more. You can start out gentle.